Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Welcome one more time to another session of True Prosperity. True Prosperity. Now, in our last session was very good information. I recommend that you watch not just our last session, but our last two sessions. If I remember correctly, this is the fourth session that I'm going to start. And this is very interesting. It's part of our inheritance in Christ. Now, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your direction. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you direct us to speak, to teach under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And thank you that the Holy Spirit helps the hearer to understand. A spirit of wisdom and revelation, said the Apostle Paul. Thank you. In Christ Jesus, we speak it. And the people of God said, Amen, Amen, Amen. Believe that you receive it. Now, the information in our last three sessions, I guarantee you, if it's you, if you are a studier, a disciple of the Word, you'll like it very much. It'll open up your eyes, the eyes of your spirit, spiritually speaking, to another level. Please watch them. And don't watch them with a spiritual morbidity or something of the sort, or just to see, oh, let's see what this man said. No. Watch it with interest, wanting to learn. Now, today's subject, the intense desire of money will remove you from faith, but a relationship with God will make you generous. All contrary. Now, in 1 Timothy 6, and I also recommend our last session. Well, all three sessions. I recommend all three sessions. Take time. Take the time. There is nothing more valuable than taking time in the Word of God. We left off on verse 8, now verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. One more time. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, the question is it wrong to want to be rich? The answer would be, depends on the motive. Because as we've studied in other scriptures, and we see in other scriptures across the Bible, it is not wrong. If you have a relationship with God, believe me, you have that communion with God. That fellowship with God. You'll want to be rich, but for the correct motive. You'll want to be a blessing to the body of Christ. You'll want to sow so that the gospel, the true gospel, advances so that other people come to the Lord, that they are saved, and then they learn how to be healed, how to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, how to hear from God, how to grow in that relationship with God, in that communion with the Lord, how to renew their minds, etc., to seek that spiritual maturity through that relationship with God, how to walk in the principles of faith, how to use faith as a lifestyle, how to use the type of faith of God to also receive healing, how to use that faith as a tool. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The joy wins me over sometimes, but thank you, Lord. Verse 9. Verse 10. For the love of money. Or apologies, verse 10, yes. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Not money, but the love of money. It does not say the love of God. It's very different. You and money make a very terrible pair. You and God make a perfect pair. You and money make a terrible pair, just as I and money make a terrible pair, if not related with God. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some strayed away from the faith, or many, in their greediness, and pierced themselves through many sorrows. You've been pierced, consequences, disasters in your life, or the life of those people. Now, the New Living Translation, in verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. The love of money. The love of money. Unfortunately, the body of Christ, instead of preaching against the love to money, they have preached against money itself. And what they've obtained now are poor churches, poor Christians, poor pastors that do not have the funds to even pay the light bill of their building. They don't have money to even buy toilet paper for their churches. They don't have money for the most minimal part. They always have to be selling food, which is anti-biblical, and there are people who get bothered with this. But that's part of the truth. God placed a financial plan for the church, for the body of Christ, for his church. God did not give us a financial plan which was to sell food. It's called tithings and offerings. Not to make a mess and a grease pool in the hallway. I'm not saying when people make food to have a little cookout with the brothers in Christ. There are some churches who have perhaps a small area where they sell sandwiches or some coffee, but that's not part of the business. That's just a bit of flow of cash just to move the money again and buy the coffee sandwiches again. I'm not referring to that. This is when churches have to sell, and there are many like this. Especially in my case, I know many churches, Hispanic churches that way. They make many tamales and then noodles to sell during the summertime. It's a big mess. People slipping over the stains on the floor. And I know people get discouraged with what I say, but it's not the plan of God. And you know what happens? The people that are in those churches have so much love to money that they are not going to give. And the reason is many of them, God bless them, some of them think that that's how it is, because they haven't been taught. This is my personal opinion. According to my opinion, which I should say is the correct one, we should teach the word as ministers of the gospel of Christ. Teach the word and stop letting the people decide if they're going to receive it or not. It's in you. If what I'm speaking, you receive it or not, if you are offended or not, it's in you. There it is. All I have to do is tell you the truth. Now, let me show you here in Mark 11, verse 15 to verse 17. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. In the temple. Today, the temple we call the church, congregation. and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Verse 16, and he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temples. Now, put verse 15 and 16, the Hughes version now. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple, or came to Douglas. And the church started driving out those who bought and sold inside of the church and overturned the tables of those who sold menudo and the seats of those who sold tamales. Verse 16, and he would not allow anyone through the church carrying tacos. Amen. It's anti-biblical to sell food in the churches to grab funds from there. It's a lack of faith. And it's giving place to the devil. You're going to have a poor church, poor people, and the people of the Lord Jesus are going to be broke. Well, one said, I'm not going to stop selling food just because that man says it. Well, I mean, you have reason, yeah. Well, that pastor in Christ, I say, you have reason. Continue. Continue doing that. And you're always going to be poor there. And blaming God and thinking that God has you that way for a purpose. You're going to have to live with your own decisions. Or you're going to have to decide to believe the Lord and trust in His word. Because if others say, oh, well, if I speak of money, the people are going to leave the church and don't come. And those who stay, the Lord will prosper them. And the funds will be there to go on forward. And another pastor said, oh, well, if I do that, perhaps I won't have enough to pay rent and I have to leave this building. Or you go to a smaller one then and you stay with the people who are there. And if you have to start from the bottom, start from the bottom. That's how this works. That's faith. But you will not compromise the word. You are not going to compromise the word of God. You will not compromise the word. It's by faith, and only by faith, that you will obtain the things of the Lord. If it's not by faith, then you don't want it. Simple as that. If it's not by faith, I don't want it. In His word. Amen. Now, 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. Start in verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Snare here means a trap. And into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now the New Living Translation. But those who long to be rich, the long to be rich, fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Destruction of your matrimony, destruction of your finances, destruction of your children, destruction of your spiritual life, the spiritual life of your wife, the spiritual life of your children, the destruction of your own life or someone else. Because there are people who are willing to kill for money, to rob for money, backstab for money. So money has an importance, yes, if you see it as a tool. A tool is important. You need good tools if you're going to be cutting wood or nailing something into the wall, bring up something in construction. Tools are very important. I know people who are dedicated in working in construction. They have all types of equipment, all types of tools. Their trucks, their trailers, full of tools. They have their own tractor, some of them. Their own machinery. That equipment is necessary, essential to be able to do their business in construction. And we all understand it, correct? You'd say, yes, of course I understand. Well, in that same way then, money is indispensable, as you see it as a tool. We cannot advance or do anything, regardless of how much anointing there is, how much word there is, how good the word of God is. We cannot take it to other places if we do not have the money. Do you understand? Easy to understand. Practical. Nevertheless, if you apply the first three teachings where I focused, if you could grab a, just sum up what I spoke on, I focused basically on that relationship with God, in that communion with God, in that fellowship with God. In knowing Him or in that relationship with God. And you can't avoid it. Your faith will increase. It will grow. That faith will grow. That confidence in God will grow when you have a relationship with Him. And you'll start seeing healing in your body, healing in your home, in your family. And you'll also start to prosper financially. You'll have peace of mind and financial peace. Peace means everything is complete. You lack nothing. The shalom of God. And you'll start having money and increase in finance. You'll live better. But the majority, you'll distribute it in the gospel. In increasing the gospel. And one part, you'll use it for yourself. And since you have that relationship with God, one of the verses that I used, let's go one more time to Psalms. Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. You'll delight yourself in His presence, in Him. The Lord is more than enough for you. You don't need drugs to be happy, alcohol to be happy. You don't need pornography to be happy. You don't need any of the things of what the world or the devil offers. You need the Lord Jesus. That's it. He is your joy. He is your peace. He is your presence. He is everything for you. Then, that's when it starts to grow. It starts to flow. The manifestations of healing, of prosperity. Do you think that my delight is in this watch? This is my wedding ring. I have it since even before getting married, about a year before. When I was engaged, and in 2025, Nuvi and I will have 22 years of marriage. And this ring was given to me by a friend. But do you think I delight myself in it? No, it's just jewelry. This just helped me, especially this one. It helps to remove the sight of the twisted hand because of when I broke my hand, my horse kicked me. Some of you know that story, as when one of my horses kicked me and broke my hand. Had this just cast. And it was like that for about half a year. And then when they took off the cast, it was way too inflamed. My hand was too inflamed, but I don't know how to say it. It was very tender, perhaps still too tender. And then I went to a church. People started greeting me, and a brother who always had a firm grip, well, hurt my hand. And he didn't do it purposefully, but it didn't help me much. But I live very comfortably. And you know what? This kick was due to a bad decision on not obeying the voice of God. And now whenever I'm going to take a decision and I'm in a rush and I need to take a decision, I turn to look at my hand to that consequence and I say, nope, it's best if once I'm sure of what the Lord is telling me. Now, that was a quick parenthesis of this. To continue. It says, delight yourself. Now help me with the New Living Translation. Psalms 37, verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Now, is it wrong to desire a better home, a better place to live, a better car, better clothes? No, it's not wrong. The issue is the world also has desires. So the difference between the world, between pagans, between heathens of the world, is that your desire is provoked by God. It's provoked by the Lord in you, by that communion with Him. Philippians. And don't be surprised when the Lord tells you. When you spend time with Him, and after you develop that relationship with Him, it's always in the kingdom, seed, time, and harvest. Don't expect to start a relationship with God 2 days ago and you want the Lord to tell you, I want you to have this and that. Some time will pass. Perhaps even years can pass. Because in those years, not only are you developing the relationship with God, but you're sowing seeds in the kingdom. And when that harvest comes, the Lord now tells you, I want you to have this car. Or He Himself will put in your heart that you make a petition to Him, because He moves here through that faith that you give Him. And I know religion gets mad with this word. Through that permission that you give Him, through that prayer that He is involved in your affairs. So then He will place in your heart where you ask for that. Or He says, where you say, Lord, I'd like this type of truck or this type of car. I need to make my house bigger, Lord. And actually, I need to tear down this house now and build a new one. And you think it's your desire, but it's God Himself who placed it. But first, you spend time with Him. And I can assure you, you'll do it wisely. But you've sown not just finances in the kingdom of God, the seeds, but you've also spent time with Him. Now, what I said in Psalms 37, I'm going to link it with this. In the New Testament. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. 13 as well, but 12 is the key here. 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That word, work out, speaks of exercising that salvation. Literally, you work out. When you're working out, when you go to the gym, exercise there, or at home, you exercise that salvation like a muscle. That is then what I've been speaking. You develop, another way of saying it is, you develop that relationship with fear and trembling. Now, fear and trembling is not, oh, what fear? If I don't do this, God will send me a lightning strike or put an illness on me or send me to hell. And that phrase, fear and trembling, does not mean as if you're a gelatin just shaking all the time. No, it's a high respect, high honor to the Lord for what He is, because He is great. He is your Father and He loves you unconditionally. Because the Lord Jesus died for you. Glory to God. He died on the cross for you. He died on that cross 3 days, 3 nights, and arose because He loves you for your salvation. That's that liberty that He brought to you. It's great. Now, very similar to what we wrote, to what we read a moment ago. Delight yourself. Occupy, exercise that faith. Exercise that salvation, that relationship with God. Now, look at verse 13. For it is God who works out in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. You see the difference? For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God is the one who in you produces that will and to do for his good pleasure. If you learn this, it will never be an issue for you. It will produce in you, which is why sometimes, speaking about people who I know, who have been for many years, they've been growing, developing their relationship with God, their love for God. And this is not just about people, these are ministers as well of the Word of God. They've developed that love, that relationship with God. And then suddenly you see them, that they speak of, oh, the Lord told me to buy an airplane or a private jet to travel, to take the Word, or this car. And the people who do not know them, well, I'm talking about people here, certain ministers, you don't know them, they are criticized, saying, oh, that man is trying to rob and keep the money. No, these are people, these are ministers, experienced ministers, seasoned ministers, with time, years, serving God and developing that relationship with the Lord. It was God who put that desire in them. Now, I've already mentioned before of certain others who just ask for money and speak of money. But in reality, for example, let's speak of the truth here. There are some of you here who see this, where you send money to a certain apostle, especially on Facebook, which is very common. It could be in certain YouTube sites as well. But I've seen it more in Facebook in the past, especially. I'm not much of social media, but people who watch social media tell me, oh no, now it's worse. When you see certain apostles or prophet so-and-so, and then they ask for money and they show you photos like this. They don't even show you an image because it's just a phone. But the one that they're transmitting in a video and saying, oh, we're sending these money to these missions, or we're going to mission trips in Africa and putting pictures of little kids there starving, and you don't even know who they are. And they put an account number there to where you can send money. You don't even know who they are. Many times, and here you have to be very careful of how you're going to hear it. And I have to be careful how I'm going to deliver it. But I am responsible just for what I say. I'm not responsible for how you understand it. But sometimes I said, mark my words. In certain cases, happens where it's all the contrary. In these types of people or in certain churches that you don't even know who they are, or small churches, it's where it's all a fraud or a fallacy, or simply it's a church that exists, a small church there, and the pastor's preaching and saying, send me money because I'm desperate. And in some cases, it's contrary. Ministries already established, big ministries, it's impossible then for one of those ministers to keep the money. It's an impeccable account in amount of great accountants here will not just do all any types of fraud. They lose their license to exercise that profession. One more time, which is why I said careful with how you understand it. Because others could say, oh, that means that if you're a pastor or you go to a small church, oh, you're accusing my pastor because we're small. No, I said that in certain cases, that's what happens. Because there's no accountability. There's no bank account or a name to the ministry, or you don't even know if those supposed prophets exist, or if those churches exist. You can find out about Word of Faith Ministries. that we exist here. We have our website, not just a YouTube page or a Facebook page. Forgive my expression, brothers and sisters, but any idiot can create a Facebook page. We have have you checked? I'm going to take advantage here to say, have you checked lately our app? Our app, you can download it completely free in Spanish and in English. Have you checked all the information that there is available? First-class information, top-notch information, everything that we do and have. Check our website. Apart from social media, but our website more than above all. You can do it from there for our QR code that's appearing there quickly. Completely free. That is why we believe in financial prosperity. We believe that money is a tool. Glory to God. The first announcement is very important, but once you're born again, some of you need it. You smell like you're suffering, but you can get out of it. Smelling like tremendous roses if you receive the Lord Jesus. Glory to God from your heart, from here. Connect yourself, spirit, soul, and body to that prayer that you will do. Do it in faith, with conviction, not doubting. Amen.
The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life, and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
We'd love to know how this content has made a difference in your life. If it's been helpful, go ahead and like the video and drop a comment. We'd love to know how God's Word is impacting you.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at npfccc.org and click on the questions section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, npfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
We are grateful for your continued prayers and financial support, which are important for spreading God's word around the world. Giving to our ministry is both simple and secure. Please visit our website, npfccc.org, and find the giving section where you will find a variety of giving options. To make a donation, fill out the donation form, enter your desired contribution amount, select the specific fund you wish to give to, add your preferred payment method, and click the Give button to finalize your donation. Upon completion, you will receive a confirmation of your donation. We want to reassure you that any amount you decide to give is a blessing and appreciated in our ongoing mission. Thank you for your support and for partnering with us.
Amen. I'd like to thank all our friends and faith partners of Word of Faith Ministries who make taking this message, the message of faith, the grace of God, and the principles of the kingdom of God through television, radio, and internet. Thank you because you help us to do so, especially in other countries, to take the gospel to other countries. Now I'm going to continue with this. I pray, I believe, that the Spirit of the Lord is touching the minds and the hearts of some of you. And the Lord is speaking to you through the Word. I have joy in my heart. Sometimes certain people tend to get a little offended with me because I'm very direct. but I don't like to waste my time. But my heart isn't to make you feel better or offended, but to be able to help you as I was helped. And my pastor who is in heaven, my mentors in the faith, have been people who as just moving around the bushes, just they were direct. And we did not waste any time, and there was understanding. And you won't be listening to this and saying and thinking in your heart, just as, oh man, what did he want to say with that? But all the contrary. To be very clear. Amen. Now then, in verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now in the New Living Translation. New Living Translation, please. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. New International Version in that same verse. Thank you, Lord. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose. So then, don't be surprised that people, for example, you hear people say who have already time in the Lord, or it happens to you as well, where years in the Lord developing, knowing every single time more and more the Lord. And then while it comes, you're sowing seeds in the kingdom of God. And then suddenly you have a desire to say, I think it's time to make my house a bit bigger. It's time to have a better car. It's time to perhaps fix my house up a little more. Or it's time to tear this house down completely and build up a new one. Or it's time to buy new furniture or something of the sort. Don't be surprised. And although you may say, oh, I have this desire. In reality, it's God putting that desire. But notice the difference. Some perhaps could say, again, listen to this and say, oh, well, he's talking about asking God for things and God wants us poor and nonsense of the sort. I'm not preaching materialism here. I'm preaching Bible, preaching that this relationship will produce in you, will produce that desire. But the majority of what you invest is in the kingdom of God. I'm going to mention two names here that for years they were criticized. One of them continued criticizing him because he's still alive. But Apostle Frederick Casey Price was criticized a lot. Oh, prosperity, all this and that. But he was a generous man. Because he lived in a... Yo, Mom Betty Price still lives there. In that home in Palos Verdes, California. I've had the honor of staying there, eating there many times. But you know what? Apostle Fred Price, just as Mom Betty Price, have been generous people who have helped thousands of people of their church there financially and have sown millions of dollars from the moment that they started to this moment. So if you can collect the value of that house and you sum up what they've given or since they started to give in the kingdom of God and to give in other ministries and to grow in their relationship with God, they've given more in the kingdom of God than what their home is worth. But people don't see that. People just see what they have in this moment. They never knew him. That's another issue that I have. When people judge them without knowing them. Without knowing them. I'm not saying knowing of, oh yeah, I know who he is. No. Where you know him, of having a relationship with him, of seeing their hearts, of seeing them for years. But he was a generous man till the day that he left. Another name that has been criticized. Some people make money on social media we're criticizing him, and it's not a good way of making money. Of Kenneth Copeland. That man is, again, one of the most generous people that there is. He has given more than 30 airplanes to other ministries for years. The majority of the material that they produce, they give it away. In his television network, all the prayers that they have, all the prayer people that they have there, are all the people that appear on that network, he does not charge them anything. Oh, but they criticize him. They curse him. People hate him. But they don't know his heart. Those two people now, of course, there are more, but those two are the ones that have developed that relationship with God for years and years. They started young. Now they are with an advanced age, what the world calls old, chronologically speaking, and they've maintained themselves in the Lord. They've been faithful to their wives. But the people don't see that. People will criticize them, will curse them. But you don't know them. The Bible says don't judge that you don't be judged either. If you're going to judge righteously in line with the word of God, but you won't be able to. Why don't you imitate being generous like they are and developing the relationship with God like they do? You know why I mentioned these two people? Because I know them, praise the Lord. Apostle Fred Price, I had a relationship of 16 years with him. Brother Copeland is still alive. I know him personally. I've had the opportunity many times of talking with him on the phone, of being with him. Him and Mom Gloria are people that love the Lord and love the people. Glory to God. Amen. It's testable what some people do using social media just to criticize and talk when you have no proof of anything. Now what I'm speaking here is biblical and works. If you put it to work. And there are many other ministers where you will see them on television who love God and that have a heart for God. And you see what they have, and they have a private jet, they have this, isn't that? Of course, it's easier from going from one city to another. Now, many of them have also been businessmen. They have natural gas or oil men. They've been businessmen buying and selling things. And from what they gain as well, they've also sown. And the Lord has accomplished according to the laws of sowing and reaping. It's been for years. Remember, the principle is that relationship, that communion with the Lord. Because you'll be able to hear from God. It'll be the most important thing for you. There'll be nothing, no one more important. And when you're with Him in His presence, the Spirit of God will speak to you here. With the word, He will direct you. And you'll know and you'll be able to understand. And there'll be a change in your heart. And the more that you have, the closer you will be to God. The more connected you will be with the Lord. And you can have a house here, a house over there. I know this man who also has a house here in the United States. I say here in the United States, in different states. There's about 3 houses here in the United States, in different states. 2 houses in Europe. I believe one in France or something of the sort. Two different countries there. But if you talk with him, he shares of so much that he has blessed. He has given more than what his houses are worth combined. Because the houses that they have in Europe aren't necessarily luxurious houses. They're nice houses in good places, but they're not exactly luxurious or these big mansions. They're normal homes. European style, some of them, you think that they're not mansions, in other words. And the houses that are here in the United States are much bigger. But my point is, if you combine the value and see what they've given, then more. But there are Christians where if they lived in homes, according to what they give, well, they live in cardboard cutouts, because they give basically nothing. And some of them are the ones that criticize these types of people, the generous people. I'll make it easier for you. It's not the house where you live and it's not what you have. Because there are people who on the other side, I know some other people, remembering this brother in Christ in the area of Phoenix, central Phoenix, to this day. In those years, I was painting his house. Paint me the house, I'll pay you. But okay. When I lived in Mesa, I was dedicated to painting houses. I was painting his house, and in the office, he had an office. But I was going to take out some of the furniture. And I was taking out the furniture, he was there. But when I opened the door, his back was towards me. So when I opened the door, I saw his back. So therefore, he had a very big screen. And his computer there. He was transferring money from one account to the other. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I did not mean to interrupt you. Yeah, I'll come back later. I'll take out the furniture. I was going to have to take out some furniture and move some other ones. He said, no, it's fine. I'm about to finish. Look, I'm just moving some money. I said, oh, okay, that's fine. Then I'll just wait for you to finish. No, you can watch if you want. He started me, look at how good God has been with me. Look at how good God has been. Look. This account that I have here. Remember, he was giving testimony. It took just a pair of minutes to explain some marvelous things of God, how God had blessed him, how God had guided him to certain business ideas, and how him and his wife went from being, you know, normal, middle class. They lived fine, like other people, but they had certain debts, paying off a house, and now being free of debt, having the capital that they have now. He told me, look, this account is the one that least has, and I'll transfer it here. And there's about three accounts, the one that had the least amount. I don't remember, about $9 million. I was surprised and I asked him, hey, why don't you live over there in Scottsdale, Arizona, higher end? He said, oh, we did live there. I had a house there, a very big house. But my kids grew up and left and it was too big for us, for me and my wife only. And literally, if I was in one side of the house and she was in the other, I'd have to call her through the phone to see where she was at. I had a pool and a very big yard and a golf course. I sold it and bought this house. That house that was there, Central Phoenix, very, very nice place, very good area. Just that the house was a bit older, made around the 70s, but a very nice home nevertheless. Overall, the location of it, but nothing to do with the houses that I was referring to in Scottsdale. And he told me, that's fine. I lived in those types of homes and they're okay, but I'd rather live here. Everything's much closer, much more centralized, much easier for us to go having to go to our church. But what I'm saying with this is I learned that, hey, you can live in a mansion. As I mentioned, Fred Price as well. His family who were their home. Our mom, Betty, still live in that home there in Palos Verdes. Or you can live in another more modest home, smaller. There's no issue. Wherever you want to live, you'll decide it. God will honor you. What you want. Because he will also respect your decisions. But you know where the secret is. How generous you are. Luke 12. Put the title back up again, please, of this teaching. The intense desire of money will deviate you from faith. But relationship with God will make you generous. So notice how this intense desire deviated him. Luke 12. 12:13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Now before this, go back to verse 15. That's what I'm referring to. A moment ago, this man years ago told me that. And it changed my theology a bit. And the Lord spoke to me through what this brother in Christ told me. Yeah, I had a bigger home, but I wanted to live here, and that's fine. That meaning, if you see a man, not about a man who, where you can tell that he has a relationship with God, communion with God, where his wife and his children are strong in the things of the Lord and in love with the Lord, and you see them in their lifestyle, they live in a mansion, don't criticize him. It's been God who placed that in them. And he has sown for years in the kingdom. Financial seeds and has given and has been generous in the kingdom. Now, it's his harvest, don't criticize him. But perhaps you will find people like this man that also comes to my mind who lives in a cabin. In a cabin, very nice cabin. A wood pine cabin. Very nice. From the inside and out. Cabins, I think, a cabin in this time is a good amount of money. But you see, and it's something very, very, very robust, but has some elegance to it. But it's not like living in a mansion. The man has a lot of money as well. He's a believer in Christ. There are people who have lived this, that I've been speaking, these 3-4 sessions. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So what does it consist in? The life of man does not consist in the abundance of things, but in the abundance of generosity. The abundance of generosity, of how generous you are due to that relationship with God. That's true prosperity. True prosperity. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. 17, and he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do?" He never consulted God. He said, "What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops?" It was never God. "What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops?" He said, "I will do this. I will put down my barns and build greater, and there will store all my crops and my goods." Notice verse 18. So he said, "I will do this." He answered himself. Or since this man had no relationship with God, Not what I said a moment ago. God himself puts that desire in you. You say, oh, I'd like to have this, I'd love to have the other, but it's God saying, very probable that perhaps the devil had also placed that desire. That answer was from the devil himself. Put the verse one more time on the screen. And he said, I will do this. He answered himself. He let his desires move. I will put down my barns and build greater. And I will store all my crops and my goods. I will tell my soul, soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. A carnal mind, a selfish mind. You have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. No wrong in the end. God wants you to eat, to rest, to drink, that you rejoice. Enjoy life. But this man was doing it incorrectly. God was not important, and the things of God for him were not important. Verse 20. But God said to him, fool. Fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose of those things will you have to provide? It wasn't God who caused this. It was his own covetousness. His own desire of having things. And there were consequences. And what you've provided, what shall it be? So it is he who lays up a treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So what is rich towards God? New Living Translation? This is how it will be. Whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. But if you are rich towards God, you will be rich with God. You will be generous in the things of God. Glory to God. Papa Hagen taught us 5 reasons for why we give. The first one is because we love God. That relationship, that communion with God. Second, because we love the people. We can be of blessing to the people because we love our local church. We love where we are fed, first of all. Number 4, because we want to extend the kingdom of God. And number 5, because we want to prosper. But we want to prosper, yeah, because we need things, as I said. We need to live, we need to put diesel or gas in our cars. We need to pay the insurance. We need to pay our phone bill. We need to buy clothes during wintertime. We need to buy good clothing during summertime. We need to buy lighter clothes. We sometimes need things. We need things. We want to prosper, but we also want to prosper. To go back to the first point, be more generous now because we love God. And again, we go back to the first 4 points. The motive, not you. 5th one is you, but you want to prosper again because of the first 4. And it's growing, glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. I leave you with this. Were you ministered and were you fed with the word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight. Or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled you cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of word of faith ministries, which teaches you the word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. True. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again, time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree. And you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt, and He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.